But I am so glad for godly mothers. I tell you, I have two. We've adopted Miss Helen over here as our second mother, and I've got a mother living. And Miss Helen, we kind of adopted her. She adopted us, I guess. Mr. Bodie was one of the finest men in the church, I suppose, and he kind of adopted me because her dad was my pastor for so many years at Eastside and Rusk, and one of the finest men. And when I came up the lake, knocked on their door, they were going to church, and she came to me with a picture and said, "You know this guy?" I said, "Yeah, that's my pastor." And it's her dad. And there's been a friendship there ever since. And I thank the Lord for her. Godly mothers. The Bible says so much about mothers who raise their children. By the way, I bought mine breakfast this morning, long distance. It can be done. If you got a sister, just call her and say, get breakfast at McDonald's and take it to mother. I said, "I'll pay for it when I see you." And she said, "Okay, I'll hold you to that." And she will. You know, if you're going to be a godly mother, you have to have salvation of Jesus Christ in your life. And you know, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your mother and your children are there, and you've never accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that's the first thing you need to do. And I pray this morning, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will invite Him into your life, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death, separation from God forever in a place called hell. And your children don't want you to go there, and you don't want to go there. And it's same for the fathers. And same for the children. Jesus Christ died on the cross that we might be saved, that our sins be forgiven. And all you have to do is come to Him and say, "Lord, I want you to come into my life. I want salvation." It's a free gift, but you have to ask Him for it. And by faith, you believe Him for it, trust in what He did on the cross, and live for Him. And you'll have your everlasting life. And that is the first step to being a godly person and a godly mother. Now, the Bible says, and let's look in the Bible this morning at 1 Samuel chapter 1. It's a very good story about a mother that was a godly woman. Verse 8 of chapter 1. The Bible says, "Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, 'Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?' So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, was a priest, was sitting at the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on my affliction of your maid servant, and remember me, and not forget your maid servant, but will give your maid servant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.'" Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the reading of your word. Now, Lord, we do not understand it unless your Holy Spirit open up our heart to it. And Lord, right now we pray that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened and open our heart till we hear the word and make the decisions we need to make today. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. A godly mother. A story found in the Bible. If you read the first of this story, here's the setting. Elkanah had two wives, Pinhah and Hannah. Now, Pinhah made fun of Hannah because she had no children. The Lord had closed her womb and she didn't have any children. And back then, if you didn't have any children, something was wrong in your life. You'd lost favor with God, and not this woman, Hannah. She served the Lord. But you know, even in a crisis, and she had a crisis in her life, God is there. I want you to think about being a godly mother today in the crisis of life. Now, we all have crisis, don't we? Every day we look around, we can find a crisis in somebody's life. This week we had several crises that came up in the life. But crisis doesn't mean that God does not love us. Crisis in our life only means that God is working in our life to show us something for us. Some blessing, I believe. In her life, she had no children. And she was being provoked. Made fun of. Laughed at. And her husband says to her, "Don't you know that I love you more than 10 sons would love you?" But yet she had no children. Now, a godly mother, I believe the first step in a godly mother, when we are in crisis, where does she turn? The Bible says she prayed unto the Lord. Now, prayer is a part of her life, folks. It wasn't just something that she turned to at the last moment. I believe a godly mother is one that has been saved and in Christ Jesus, and she's on her knees praying, praying daily for her children, praying daily for her household. The Bible says in Proverbs 31, verse 10, about a woman who's far richer than, more wealthy than rubies and things because she takes care of her household. And this is Hannah. In the middle of the crisis, she's found on her knees praying to God. Boy, I tell you what. My mother is a godly lady. I called her this morning and I talked to her a moment, and she doesn't remember me like she used to because she's having trouble remembering things. I think it kind of runs in our family. But I know she loved us, and she prayed for us. There's been many a night she stayed up till we got home, listening for the car to drive in, to make sure her children were all right. You understand where I'm coming from, mothers? You know how that's at? That's a godly mother. You pray for your children. You take care of your children. You want them to have more than enough, really. I can remember we grew up in a big family. We had at least six in our family. And, you know, we were raised on a farm, and one chicken just wouldn't do it. Man, if you got one chicken leg and you only got two, you know, so you have to have more than one chicken out there to get a bite. But when there's one piece left, mother would never eat till she saw that her children were well fed. She worked all the days of her life teaching school to make sure her children were taken care of. But the greatest thing about my mother is she served the Lord with her life. Her family was based upon Jesus Christ. She just didn't send me to church and pray for me. No, she took me to church and she prayed with me. I can remember before going to bed saying the prayers with my mother. Saying, "Lord," calling His name and praying in His blessed name. Hannah was that kind of a woman. She had no children, but she's found on her knees praying to the Lord and saying, "Lord, if you will just bless me with a child." You see, she realized that all things come from God. She said, "Lord, if you'll bless me with a child, I'll give my child to you all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." Now, that would be probably a Nazarite. Now, Nazarites were men that were set aside by God to do certain things, and most of them for a period of time. But Samuel was a Nazarite from birth, and she gave him to God, not for just a short time, but all his life. He was God's man to serve God the way God wanted him to serve. And you know, we find not only a godly mother praying for her child, she, when he is born, She gives her child, she follows through with her commitment and gives that child to the priest, Eli, to raise. She kept her faith in Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart, women, a woman that serves God will keep her faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what crisis comes along, no matter what in her life, you keep your faith to Jesus Christ. And she did exactly that. She gave. Can you imagine how hard it would be to take a child? They were weaned about 2 years or maybe 3 years of age at that time. And take that 2 or 3 year old boy and take him to the priest and say, you know, here am I. I was here and I committed my son. If God would give me a male child, I would give him back to God. Would you take him and raise him in the service of the Lord? Now, there's something I want you to notice. The Bible says in Proverbs, train up a child in the way he should go. Or is that a song? Well, anyhow, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he, Proverbs, I thought it was. She was training that child as a young boy to be in the priesthood. Now, these kids, don't ever think God cannot use them at a young age. Man, I tell you, from the mouths of babes, some of the wisest and most godly things sometimes are said, and from these little children, we can give them a life, training up them in church that they might serve God later on. You know, I've thought back over my life, and I've wondered several times, God, why am I here? Why did you choose me? Why did you choose me to go to the places that I've been? And I can only explain it because I've got a godly mother and I had a godly father who raised us trusting God. Believing God for the promises of God. I challenge you, mothers. If you're not believing God for the promises that He gives you in His Word, pray, get into His Word on a daily basis, and pray for your children. Believe God for your children. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, and they will not turn from that when they get older. That's a promise of God. Bring them up, teaching them about God and a godly life. Oh, this mother had a burden for her child. We know that we have burdens for our children today. Take it to the Lord in prayer. You don't have to turn to anybody else. She didn't turn to her husband. She didn't turn to the priest. She turned to God. She was praying in the temple. I thought the priest Eli said he thought she was drunk. But she was filled with the presence of God. She was filled with the Spirit of God. And she said, I'm not drunk. I'm praying to God. I want a child from God. And when I get this child from God, oh, he's going to be a blessing to God. Not only that, she had faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A strong, unfailing faith took her petition to God in prayer and believed God for a son, and she trusted God for that son. Man, she poured out her heart to God for that son, and God gave her the request of her heart. Don't you know that if you're a godly woman and you're living a godly life and you're praying and you're serving God with your life, there's no better way on earth. There's no better thing than that. There's no better heritage than that to leave your children as a godly heritage in Christ. I'm so thankful for our mother. I'm so thankful that we had a godly heritage. That doesn't mean we were always perfect. We weren't. As a matter of fact, we do things sometimes we're plumb ashamed of. But I know that God will bless you as a parent, as a mother, if you'll just bring that child up in a godly home. Christ meant for us to serve him with our lives. He meant for the families to be godly families. Boy, we look across America today, and the problem with America is we have left God out of our families. We don't have families serving God anymore. We talked about two generations away. Well, you know what? I think we've already got one generation away from God. The next generation, we won't know God at all in our country. You look at what's happening in America today. We need godly parents, godly mothers. Train them up in church so they won't doubt their salvation. They won't doubt that you love them. The Bible tells us that she was a godly mother. She was a praying mother. She had faith in God, but not only had faith in God, she had a magnificent love for God. The Bible says, after Hannah had given Samuel to the Lord, she continued to visit him regularly, giving him all the love that a mother could give. Oh, isn't that great to know that you can be a mother, and even though you're away from your child, you can pray for him and give him all the love? Now, our family is a unique family. We've got a boy lives next door to us, and we've got a boy that lives across the ocean from us. But you know what? We're close, just as close as we can be, because they still call on a regular basis. We still pray with them. We still love them. We still care for them. I thank God that Rhonda has a great love for her children, and that she's trained them up the same way that our mother, she had a godly mother too. One of the finest godly ladies I've ever known, my mother-in-law. And I'd have to hate, some people say, well, you know, they don't like their mother-in-laws. I loved mine. She was a great lady, and she's a beautiful lady. I tell Ron every once in a while, I still miss her good old cooking. Let me tell you, every Friday night, we had a date. I always ate with them at their house. That woman could cook. And you know me, I like cooking. Wait till a man's heart is through his stomach, I think they say. Well, she won me over real quick. And I thought, well, man, I found the girl of my dream. She can cook. She's got a mother that can cook. And they both look beautiful. So, man, this is all right. And so I tell you, she had a magnificent love. And Rhonda has a magnificent love for her children. You can say a lot of things about her, but don't talk about those two boys. She really loves them. And that's the way Hannah did. Sometimes we do things that, you know, are not altogether perfect, but no matter what, they know that their mother is going to love them. Maybe not so much with their daddy, but their mother is going to be there. Now, it's sad, but there's children today that do not know the love of a mother. Isn't that sad? We've got children running around out here in our town and in our neighborhoods that they do not feel any love for their parents. Their parents do not love them. They do not want to raise them in a Christian environment. They're too busy looking at their own lives and their own things than to love their children. And folks, we are just about a generation away from that, and it's sad. All they need is someone to care, someone to tell them that they are loved. And we as Christians ought to share with them Jesus Christ. You see, Hannah had a prayer life and a faith life and a love life that was unmatchable. Not only that, she had a magnificent influence over her son. Samuel never got away from Hannah's influence. He was a great man of God. One of the greatest personalities, if you read about his life in the Bible and all the things that he did, he is one of the greatest personality of characters in Israel's history. He wasn't just a Nazarite for a while, but for his entire life. And the reason he did that, or reason God used him that way, I believe, is because of the promises God and Hannah made through the prayer. I will give him to you, and he shall serve you all the days of his life. And her influence in Samuel in the right direction served for his work with God all of his life. Oh, what kind of influence do you have today? Now think about that. I've sat here and I've told you the influence of a godly mother. What kind of influence have you had on the children beside you? I pray that it was one of teaching them the values of a Christian life. I pray that it was one of teaching them the value of believing and trusting God through faith. I pray that it's the value of love, that you know that you are loved. You're loved. And that influence will be used to bless all mankind, just as in the life of Samuel. You see, Samuel's work was to influence all of mankind for God while he was there. He talked to Saul, the king, first king of Israel. George W. Truett said he was influenced greatly by his mother, who prayed 26 years for her own husband's conversion. Oliver Cromwell's mother taught him scriptures, and he chose as his favorite verse, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Dwight Moody's mother taught him the importance of eternal values, and he was saved at the age of 17. The author of the Baptist Times, Townley Lord, wrote, "My mother knew nothing of the discussions of the scholars about theology or the Savior as a historic figure, but everything of him as a daily presence in her life." You may not be able to discuss all the theology with the scholars out there, but if you have a daily presence of God in your life and you are influencing your children, you are influencing people to the Lord, you are doing what God has ordained you to do. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Let your influence bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I started out by saying, if you're going to live a godly life, you have to start first with salvation. And if you will pray and ask God to come into your life, he will. You do that simply by faith. And my challenge to you today, on this beautiful Mother's Day, would you influence your children to Jesus Christ? You can tell if you have, because they have a prayer life. They have a faith in Christ Jesus. They have a love for the Lord. And they will also have an influence in their life for Jesus Christ. If you're a godly mother, praise God. Listen to what Hannah said, and then I'll close. In chapter 2, Hannah had given her son to the Lord, and she rejoiced in a prayer. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn," or my strength, "is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies." In other words, that first wife that gave her such fits, she said, "I can smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation, Lord. No one is holy like the Lord." She's praising God, isn't she? She's won the victory in the Lord in her life. "There is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him his actions are weighed." And look at verse 10. I want you to see her belief. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king. A godly mother, she looked ahead, and by faith, this is the first mention or reference to the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And it came from Hannah. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Man, I tell you what, this was a woman who trusted God, who believed in God, who looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ by faith. All those in the Old Testament, how were they righteous? They looked forward by faith to the coming of the Messiah. We look back to the cross of Jesus Christ. If you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you need to make a decision today just to get your life right with God, you need to come to the altar. If you're here and you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God has led you, would you make that decision today? Mothers, would you be godly in your life? Don't just bring your kids to church. Live it in the faith with them in church. Flesh it out, so to speak. Your life is a testimony that they will never forget. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for our mothers. We thank you today that right here in this service, the room is full of women who are godly mothers. There might be some, Lord, that have never trusted you. Lord, I pray today they will come and start that walk with you. Lord, it could be a husband here, or it could be a whole family that just needs to come. God, whatever decision, we'll respect that decision because you are the God of salvation. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.